episode 22 of Capes and Junk. I'm your host, as always, John Lucero. Joining me, as always, is my co-host, Michael Hughes. Michael, say hello to the people.
Hello to the people.
Michael, we have a new segment for everyone today.
Again.
Yes, we do that a lot. This episode, we are doing something called Games of Future Past, a thing where we play a bunch of video games based on a property or comic or something or character, and then just, you know, chat about them, give our thoughts on them. Because we are deep in a Power Rangers hole over here that no one outside of one episode would have any idea of us being in. We decided to do the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers games from a series.
The whole 16-bit era.
Yeah, the whole 16-bit era. A series of five games.
Which, yeah. Yesterday when we started, I'm like, oh, it'll just be three. We'll do Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, and we'll do the movie, and then we'll check out the fighting edition. Lo and behold, that this was another victim of the Genesis and the Super Nintendo having different versions of two of those games, so we ended up with five.
Yes. And in my research, I also found out that the as was custom, the handheld games were also a slightly unique version of each game.
We also learned before recording, there's a Sega CD version, which is basically just watching the show, and then it gives you like Dragon's Lair QTEs.
Which personally, to me, sounds like the best game.
You guys just go watch the show at that point.
Absolutely. All right. So, Michael, first up here, we have to figure out what kind of ranger we are. See, I didn't forget. I was just being dramatic. All right.
There you go.
All right. Yeah. Would you like to go first this time?
Sure.
For ChatGPT, we did. Could you make a Power Ranger profile for me? It should consist of a color followed by Power Ranger, and it'll need a weapon as well as some kind of Zord for me to pilot. This is what it shit out for us.
I am the Indigo Power Ranger. My color is indigo. My weapon is the Sonic Scepter.
Hell yeah!
Staff emits powerful sonic waves to disorient enemies. My Zord is the Thunder Owl Zord, a sleek owl-themed Zord with the ability to fly silently and unleash devastating sonic attacks. That seems kind of oxymoronic there.
Yeah, fly silently until not, basically. It's a cell
until
bomber.
Until Steph is no longer required for this mission.
Yeah.
My catchphrase is sonic power soaring high. I kind of like that.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Indigo L.
Okay. All right, I think I got a catchphrase, but I did get a bio for my character.
Oh, wow.
I am the Crimson Power Ranger. Color, you might be surprised, Crimson.
No way.
Weapon, Plasma Blaster. Zord, the Fire Phoenix Zord. So I didn't get breakdowns of each, but I did get a two-paragraph bio for my character. Let's see what we got here.
Wasn't Fire Phoenix what I had last time?
Something like that. Because I had, I had water.
Phoenix.
Yes, and you had like a, yes, you had a bird and I had like a Water Dragon, I think.
Yeah.
The Crimson Power Ranger is a fierce and determined warrior, always ready to defend the world from evil. With the power of fire at their command, they wield the Plasma Blaster, a weapon capable of unleashing devastating energy blasts against their enemies. In times of need, the Crimson Power Ranger calls upon their mighty Fire Phoenix Sword. This majestic creature soars through the skies with blazing wings, ready to lend its strength to the battle against darkness. Together, the Crimson Power Ranger and the Fire Phoenix Zord form an unstoppable force, protecting the world with courage and valor.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So there we are. Crimson and Indigo. There have to be Crimson and Indigo Rangers, right, at this point?
Gotta be.
Yeah. All right. So, moving over to our games. First up, fittingly, was the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers video game, which was just called Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. There was no the game in it, which can make searching for it a little annoying sometimes.
you basically have to throw in the system of choice.
Yes. It released in the U.S. November 23rd, 1994 for Super Nintendo. In the Genesis version, November 1994 as well. The Game Boy version, August 94, and the Game Gear version just says 94. I don't have an actual date here. But we played the Super Nintendo and the Genesis versions. The Super Nintendo version, as Okay, all of these games. Three of these games. Four of the five games? Four of the five. No. Trying to remember. Three or four. Most of them are side-scrolling beat-em-ups.
Three.
Yes.
Both movies and then this one.
Yes, this one. And they all of the side-scrolling beat-em-ups have you select a ranger at the beginning of a level and then play through said level as said ranger. Michael, what did you think of this first one we played?
So, yeah, this first one was developed by Natsume, published by Bandai. It's very passable as a beat-em-up. I was actually having a decent time until it starts to go a bit long in the tooth as it goes on for a little bit.
I feel like that was a theme of a lot of them.
It's not bad. The sprite works pretty decent for the most part. They made some choices with Billy. They made him look really dumpy for some reason.
Yeah, he looks very weird. And it kind of is a theme across all the games as well, is that Billy always gets kind of like the short end of the stick. Even though he's like in the show the longest of all the characters.
Right, yeah. Other than Tommy, I guess, but
I think he outlasts Tommy.
Wow.
Maybe not. Tommy goes into Zio. I don't remember if Billy goes into Zio or not. Whatever. Yeah, and then Turbo.
Play as the teenagers themselves for a bit of the level until the boss shows himself and then skedaddles, and at which point you don your ranger gear. And, of course, sprite limitations being what they were back in the day, every ranger is the same. Everyone has the Tyrannosaurus helmet with just a color swap.
And they also have the body of the Red Ranger as well when they turn into a ranger.
All the same attacks, they swap with the weapon looks like. Kimberly can shoot her bow, but everyone else just has this overhead axe swing.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Zach is very strange looking. He's got like parachute pants, which he might have worn in the early episodes of the show, but it's a choice.
Yeah, the game is definitely in development early during the show's run. Probably before the end of the second season, I would say. Anyway, you get through each level. You fight a boss at the end of said level. The bosses are different monsters of the week from the show.
Right.
Which we became more familiar with after we played. Because we played through the full run of the game. And most of them were like, I don't remember this bugger at all. And some of them I did, but most of them I didn't. And then like we watched some clips later on, and like, I kind of remember this guy now.
You want to regale everyone with the super exciting boss fight for the second level?
Oh yes,
the orc farmer, whatever he was.
Yeah, the orc pig farmer man, not with Pudgy Pig. Yeah, but. Yeah, it was a court. He would just teleport around to five different platforms, do something, and then teleport again, or get hit by Mike. Michael was the one playing, or get hit in the face and then teleport again to get immediately hit in the face because you can reach every platform from the middle platform.
you hit him once and then he teleports again. Yeah, that bears mentioning that this one is not multiplayer. It is not co-op. You play single player only.
Yes, it is the only one that's not multiplayer of the games, right?
All the fighting ones definitely would have been. Both of the movie ones are.
Yeah. You do those five levels, and then you do the last two levels of Megazord fights, which I kind of like conceptually, you know, making the and they're essentially one-on-one fighting game battles,
right?
Against a giant enemy, as is custom.
You fight Goldar, and then the last level was something that neither of us even recognized.
Yeah, it was some big like stag beetle looking motherfucker, Hercules beetle. And he has two stages that you have to beat with one health bar, which is always a fun idea. It's, and then the game ends, and the fun reward you get for the game for doing all that is you watch the Power Rangers drive around in a circle on the beach for a long time.
Yeah. This is the one, the convertible ending.
Yeah.
It's real stupid.
Yeah. Overall, a pretty meh game with some, like that probably would have been fun at the time if you were a big Power Rangers fan, but
Cyclopsis is apparently the name of the final boss.
Cyclopsis, sure. He did have one eye, so that makes sense. Then we have, actually, I'll mention before we move on to the Genesis version, the Game Boy version, just to keep everything, you know, Nintendo-y right for now. So it's a much more simplified, you might be surprised, version of the Super Nintendo game. Five levels, two segments each, but they did five levels that are each two segments. First segment, you play as a ranger. In the second segment, you do a Megazord fight against one of the main villains of the show.
We didn't play this one, but I have been watching a little bit of the playthrough.
Yeah.
While we were doing the intro, and it does not look like something I would have enjoyed.
Yeah, it says when you play on the Super Game Boy, unique color palettes can be used with each ranger. So, yeah, you can have a nice blue going on while you're playing as a blue ranger, you know, so it sounds kind of fun.
Fight is against Rita, though. You don't see that a whole lot in these games.
Yeah, there was not a lot of Rita at all, I would say, in these games. Moving on to the Genesis version, this is not Mighty Morphin Power Rangers The Fighting Edition. We will talk about that one in a second. This is Mighty Morphin Power Rangers The Game again, the same title. But this one, instead of being a side-scrolling beat 'em up, is a one-on-one fighting game where you have scenario mode, which is basically an arcade mode, tower mode that you see in any standard fighting game where you fight different enemies until you get to the end. And battle mode is a one-on-one between two players. So if you have a friend and you want to play this really mediocre fighting game, you can totally do that. I don't know if they have other stages, because in the scenario mode it seems like there's only one stage for each. It's for each.
On the bridge.
Yeah, there's a bridge, and then there's, I guess, the city next to the bridge when you do the Megazord fights, of which there are only, I think, two. I think there's only the Rangers Megazord. And
Dragon Zord.
Yeah, you have five Rangers in the Megazord available. But then once you beat the Green Ranger, which we did, because you unlock him and the Dragon Zord, and we proceeded to play as the Green Ranger and the Dragon Zord.
After Jason zaps him with lightning. It's like, oh man, okay, I'm back to my senses. Let's fight.
Like, just shoots him in the face with lightning, and he's like, oh my god, I'm on your side now. Yeah.
So this one's developed by Nova, who I'm not familiar with. They don't even have a Wikipedia page.
I'm not either.
Published by Sega themselves.
Yeah.
I do remember playing this one back in the day, because you see little clips of Rita and Finster, and Finster's got like a little clay model of what you'll be fighting in the next stage, which is cool.
Yeah, that is. I always loved the clay model thing where you just fire up a new monster, and that's just a really fun idea. This one, I don't know. Which did you prefer, Michael? This one or the other one?
Aesthetically, I like this one better. Every ranger looks like what they're supposed to. Kimberly's got her little skirt for her power armor and, you know, that kind of stuff. I'm not a big fighting game person, so I'm going to defer to the beat 'em up.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
This one did have the Megazord look really short and stumpy.
Yeah, they're very stumpy. The Dragon Zord looks like it has very big, very just big feet. Like, it's really short with big feet. This one does have the Green Ranger in it, which the other game does not.
True.
And I know for a lot of fans around our ages, that's probably that would have been a big selling point. Because I mean, I don't know if there's any ranger more popular than the Green Ranger in the history of Power Rangers.
Maybe just the way, but it's still him.
Yeah. So that, yeah, I don't know. I think they're about equal in my mind. I'd say they're both pretty mediocre types of games. It's just like you're getting it for the Power Rangers aesthetic.
Also, final boss, Cyclopsis, whatever.
Yeah, he must have been at the end of this season one or something, or a big season one fight or something that happened. Yeah. So the Game Gear version, it has more levels and enemies than the Genesis version. It consists of three game modes, a single-player story game, which features a series of plot-based battles against an assortment of enemies, a single-player versus game, and a two-player link game, in which two players can battle each other using the link cable.
I didn't know the Game Gear had a link cable.
Yeah, like the Genesis version, the Green Ranger and Dragon's Lord, including Dragon's Lord Battle Mode. Do you remember Dragon's Lord Battle Mode when we would combine he'd get legs and a spear, basically, like he'd combine with the Triceratops and the Sabertooth Tiger.
And there's some Brontosaurus thing they combined with on occasion too.
Yeah, it was their like a transport Zord thing. I forget what the actual term is that they it's like a common Power Rangers trouble at this point. Just like a really big Zord that carries other Zords with it. And I think this one seemed to be like the most well received of the four different versions of the game.
For a fighting game on a handheld, it looks pretty snappy compared to the Genesis version or even the two fighting games.
Yeah. So for the four people that played the Game Gear version, I'm sure they had a really good time. I thought based on like concept and the way it looks, the Game Gear seems like it actually was probably the best version of this game.
Developed by Sims Company. I'm not familiar with them either.
Yeah, stands for Soft Development Innovation Multi Success. It's a very Japanese name for a company.
They did the House of the Dead 2 port on Dreamcast, apparently.
Oh, I bet that was a good port.
I do like that game.
All right, moving on to Mighty Morphin Power Rangers The Fighting Edition, which is a different game than the Genesis game. This was also developed by Natsume. This one came out September 95, so almost a full year after the games we just talked about. This one is just a straight-up fighting game.
Like, at the end of the movie, which we'll get to in a few, they even refer to it as Power Rangers 3, The Fighting Edition. It's like, look for this coming soon!
Yeah,
so they already had this one in the hopper when they were making the movie. Tie-in.
Yeah, which would have been this same. When did the movie come out? Do you remember like the
95?
It did come out in 95. It's probably a summer release, I would guess, right? It was probably like a
I will tell you in just a moment.
Yeah, anyway, while he's doing that. So yeah, this one is a one-on-one fighter where you select from a pretty good set. I think it's eight-ish different characters, mixes of Zords and enemies. From like Zed and some of the other, I think Cyclopsis was in there, or no, Sword, the dude with the Sword
Horns.
Yeah, Silverhorn, that guy was in there, and then you had to pick from you could pick. I don't remember if the original Zord was in there. The Thunder Megazord definitely was.
Yeah, I don't think the original was in there. Looks like June 30th, so it was a summer movie.
Okay, that makes sense. It's pretty simple. It seemed a little slow. It looked a little slow when Michael was playing it. Michael was on the sticks for all these while I watched. Just based on my eye, as someone who plays a lot of fighting games, it definitely looked a little stiff. Good sprite work though. I didn't think the sprites were good. What do you think, Michael?
Okay, so yeah, it was exactly as described. It's not great. We definitely didn't play either version of this for very. We only played the one version of this one. I think they're both the same.
But yeah, they're both the same
for very long. It was like a few bouts, and it's like, okay, I think I've got the gist of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you get a health bar, power meter, also a giant portrait of your character right on top of the
of the
health bar that takes up like a good chunk of the bottom corner of the screen that you can turn off.
To the point where it's something that's toggleable in the options.
Yeah, they were like, oh no, what have we done? So you turn it off. and the character player performs a special move at the exact moment the gauge is filled. If they do it at the exact moment the gauge is filled, the power level will increase by one level, allowing the player to perform stronger attacks. That's kind of interesting. Seems a little like too power level managey, but whatever. Also, if you beat the game on hard, you can unlock Ivan Ooze, who was everyone's favorite villain from around that time. Actually, we are pro Ivan Ooze here at Cape and Yuck. Yeah. Fun fact, this game was not very well received at all.
No.
Fun fact, though, this was the engine that would be used for Gundam Wing Endless Duel, a much better fighting game. And I actually did think about that game a bit when we were watching it. I didn't bring it up because I thought it just looked similar. I didn't think there was any chance that it was actually based on it. And it was. Endless Duel was a pretty solid fighting game.
Nice.
Yeah, it's much faster. And the sprite work is fantastic.
Considering that Natsume worked on both this and the Super Nintendo movie version, the movie came out in June 23rd. This came out in September of the same year. They could not have worked on it super hard.
No, absolutely not. I feel like they probably missed cash-in time also, you know, so.
Yeah. GamePro gave an 11.5 out of 20.
11.5 out of 20.
Higher marks than I would give it.
That's such a silly score. All right. So, speaking of the movie, Michael, we are moving on to Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie. Not the game. It's just the movie, but also it's a game. All right. So, this one also developed by Natsume and Sims again. For doing the Super Nintendo and the Genesis versions of this game. Go ahead.
One thing about the Super Nintendo version is it's not based on the movie.
Yeah, it's like half based on the movie, and then it shoots back to when the new characters were introduced for the movie.
The Genesis one. The Super Nintendo one is the one that says featuring Ivan Ooze on the
top. Oh, yeah.
He's like a boss at some point, but this is just more of, it's more of the same of the first Super Nintendo game. It's just another beat 'em up where they fight monsters of the week. They just kind of change the formula where you're collecting the little Power Ranger Thunderbolts, and that's what lets you morph this time around.
Yeah, so also no Megazords in this one, which is a pretty big mistake, I'd say, in a Power Rangers game. You fight through the levels, and then you fight Ivan Ooze as he's sitting in Dracula's chair at the end of his level, basically. The Super Nintendo version came out June 23rd, 1995, and the Genesis July 1995. So right when the movie was being put out.
Yeah, and this one does have Adam and Aisha in place of Zack and Trini. But, the teenager models look better. Billy looks identical, unfortunately. And then the Power Ranger sprites are all just color swaps of the Transformers again.
Yeah, it's very much a Final Fight clone in a lot of ways. Here's a fun thing, Michael. So the first five bosses are all monsters from the TV show's second season, which we noted that they weren't in the movie monsters. The sixth one is an original creation for the game. I guess the only time you see a Megazord is I think they use the clip at the end of the movie when he knees Ivan Ooze in the nuts or something when they hit the emergency knee him in the nuts button.
every Zord has that. You just don't see it. Yeah. That's right. That boss was that was the Mother Brain one, the main brain.
Yeah. I was trying to remember which one it was. Thank you. So yeah, this one is probably probably a better game than the other game. You'd say, Mike, like a better side scroller.
It's definitely on the challenging side. They are not really forthcoming with health, and you have five hits and then you are dead.
Yeah, which is I kind of prefer just a health meter, but I don't know. Both work. But yeah, everything just takes away one health. Like, it doesn't matter what kind of enemy it is; it's gonna do a lot of damage.
Unique thing where you can like jump between two different planes, like the foreground, the background. And my favorite thing to do was whenever it locked you to one plane, you could still do the jump animation. Your ranger just kind of like flumps into the wall. So I was doing that way too often.
he was doing it a lot. There was a snowboarding into water skiing segment, which
it's
was
all
very
broke,
fun.
Man.
Yeah. So
it's eventually very long, and then you have to fight the boss at the end of that too. And if you game over, you are back to the beginning.
Yeah. So we ended up just YouTubing the end of this game, the second half of this game. It's also because Michael was pretty burnt out, and I was pretty burnt out on watching mediocre side scrolling beat 'em ups at that point. And which led to, unfortunately, we ended up not playing, we ended up watching and not playing probably the best game of the set in this one. Not a good game by any means. Yeah, but it was the Genesis version of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers the movie. Parentheses the game, I guess, even though they and now I understand why Street Fighter did it. Which had, this one had the same like side scrolling beat 'em up stage setup where you picked a ranger and fought through it, but it actually followed the plot of the film and even jumped back into the plot of season 2, I think, of Power Rangers, and explained how Rocky, Aisha, and Adam showed up. How they're here. You get as nine. Oh, this game has 9 Rangers in it, including Jason, Trini, and Zach, as well as the actual 5, the current 5. Fun fact, when you select Jason, Zach, and Trini, the voice clips of Adam, Aisha, and Rocky play.
Because you only see them in their ranger gear.
Yeah.
I think the entire game, even in the very first stage, you're just rangers.
Yeah, which is all right for me.
They couldn't be asked to make all those different sprites.
Yeah, but those rangers were also released from their contracts, so they couldn't legally use their voices at that point. But they did own, you know, they owned the right to said Power Ranger character, like the Red Ranger, so they could... So they could make a T-Rex Red Ranger, but that was on them. It uses digitized movie scenes, which are fun because it's a very dumb movie. It's very good. and the enemies are not just putties. They're also the ooze men, which is good too. Yeah. So Nimrod, the Scarlet Sentinel, AC, and DC are renamed in the title as Sentinel Neck, Sentinel Ear, and Sentinel Ring, respectively.
We were very confused by Sentinel Neck.
Yeah, that one was not familiar to me. I'm sure I'd seen it before in my childhood, but, you know, some things just get buried. Some things just...
We made a lot of waiting for Christmas for Sent Neck to bring us presents.
Yes. Can't wait to get my Sentinel Neck in open that up every one Christmas morning. The best Power Rangers character. Also, this game is 2-player, which is a plus for a beat 'em up, you know. So, and you can also play as the Ninja Megazord from the movie, which is only in the movie. The movie is not canon for those curious. They actually explain how they became. The show shows them becoming ninjas in a completely different storyline. Ivan Ooze is replaced by, I think, Rita's brother or something like that. Mm. Anyway, Ninja Megazord and the Falcon Zord, you can play as them. Of course, Bulk and Skull appears cameos in the game's ending.
Is this the one where they jump into the boxing ring and get their ass beat?
Yeah, I think so. It's a Tommy and Jason or Rocky? I don't remember. So yeah, there's a boxing.
There's thing. Also handheld versions of this one, which we didn't play again, but it looks like the PSP or the Game Gear is more of what the previous Game Gear one was. It's just kind of one-on-one fighting. You're fighting a bunch of putties and then fighting a monster. It does not seem like it follows the plot of the movie. The Game Boy one is the only one that shows the Rangers in their ninja gear, like they get on the alien planet, the geese, I guess.
Okay, they're fun colored geese.
Yeah,
which I think are good looks. Quite a bit. Yeah, I like them too.
It doesn't seem like it follows the plot of the movie. There's a sewer level where they're fighting a giant rat as a boss.
Of course it's a sewer level. So yeah. There, played a lot of sewer levels when we were doing this.
Oh, sewers and factories with conveyor belts and if it was a fighting game trope, it was in their elevators.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the final boss is against Ivan.
Yeah. None of these games were very well received, if you're curious. So
by critics or us.
Yeah. That is kind of gonna. I think that's kind of it for the games, right, Michael? Do you have any other thoughts on the motley crew of Power Rangers games?
This kind of came out of nowhere for us because we were trying to figure out what else we wanted to do this month, and I was like, well, we could just cover what I thought were going to be 3 16-bit Power Rangers games because I kind of, after we did Shattered Grid and watched Time Force and Samurai, like, man, there's a whole slew of Power Rangers games that I have never seen before. So I started looking into some of them, like, well, I played these three, we can just cover these, and it'd be a quick and easy episode. Here we are.
Yeah, and of course we didn't consider the fact that Super Nintendo and Game and Genesis tended to have very different versions of games. It was no way like it is today, where no matter what game you buy a system on, it is going to be the same game. It was a very different time.
Now that the Vita and the DS are dead.
Yes.
Unless it's Mortal Kombat 1 and the Switch. That's
that's a masterpiece, and we would all be better if we strive to be as good as Mortal Kombat 1 for the Switch. So that's gonna do it for. Go ahead.
Despite this experience, I'm still very interested in what is no doubt another dozen bad Power Rangers games, because there's five on the Game Boy Advance.
There are so many Power Rangers games.
I will report back in a future episode on whatever I play.
Yeah, and also we've been watching some Power Rangers off this. I think we'll definitely report in on Power Rangers on a future free episode day, maybe several. Who knows how long this will go for? But
it definitely won't be the last you hear about them in the normal episodes too. But
we'll
take a break once we get back to Marvel and DC, because there's a whole slew of stuff in our Google Doc that we just have not been able to get to yet.
Yeah, because we were doing this special half of the year, which has been fun.
It has been fun. We'll definitely do it again. Probably not 6 months worth or five months worth, however long we end up going.
Yeah, but it's probably but it was a fun experiment. And which will, I guess, leads into our next episode, which will be May's first episode. We're doing anime. You might be wondering how I came up with that clever title for this. We've been watching some anime and talking about some anime. First up, we are doing the first 13 episodes, which might sound daunting to some, of Cowboy Bebop, a personal favorite of mine that Michael has never seen before.
I have not.
Yeah, it is.
Hopefully every May in the for years to come, we'll be tackling anime and manga and anything Japanese that we can get our hands on to kind of mix it up a little bit.
Yeah, because I mean, it's basically a whole comic world we haven't touched whatsoever. Bebop is a stone cold classic, undeniable in its influence and reputation. So, looking forward to seeing what Michael's thoughts on it are. No, his taste. I'm not entirely sure if he's gonna like it or not based on his taste.
All over the place.
Yeah. So. But yeah, then we'll talk about the next show we'll be doing after that. But it'll be two shows for this anime. If you're listening to this, we also just did our Disney Roll Call Villain Edition, where we did essentially a Legion of Doom of Disney villains to match up against our Disney Avengers that we did a few episodes prior to that one. We'll be doing that and we did that with our lovely wives, whose opinions are always more interesting than ours. So
you notice the changing tenses there. We have not recorded that yet.
Yeah, so we're yeah, yeah. So I'm trying my best to make it seem like we had, but no, we totally have not recorded that one yet. This is one of the few times we've recorded an episode prior to one coming out. We've done that before. Yeah.
But, John's schedule is about to get busy, so we're trying to get some stuff recorded ahead of time.
Yeah, knocking stuff out. Yeah, and we've got some, I think, three more things for the show to record.
Two or three Mays, yeah. And then that roll call.
Yeah, and also if you like the show, Summer School, our Buffy podcast, give that a listen, please as well. I think by the time this comes out. Yeah, there will be two more. 6 and 7 will be out, something like that.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, episode 6 and 7 covering episodes 7 and 8, which Angel and
Dummy.
I Robot you, Jane. That's
oh, okay.
We're in the rough middle part of season one of Buffy. So
it gets better, I swear.
It does.
Our episodes are still good. The episodes of the show are varying quality.
Yeah, it's I do think our conversations are very fun, and so give that a listen and continue listening to Capes and Junk. If you haven't listened to more Capes, if you haven't listened to all the other Capes and Junk episodes, go do that too. We have 21 of them at this point, plus free episode days, which are our random thought episodes and a bunch of other shit we've done. There's a lot. Give it a listen. But until next time, later, everyone.